to all of the students, and to Dr. Rako Hillier. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thank you to our engineer, and thank you for listening.
Some gravy in your ear. This is Wavy Gravy, Temple of Accumulated Error and Voice of Woodstock, telling you you are listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM. The 90s are the 60s, standing on your head. Yow!
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dot.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got four requests for this thing already today. Strutting right with it.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly, what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the cuts you're going to hear on other stations, because other stations just don't play jazz and blues in a black vein the way I do here.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
World up, world up, world up.
David D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Want to tap in with a longtime activist, organizer, and somebody who's been writing a lot and bringing attention to some of the doings in Los Angeles. His name is Javier Gonzalez. And, you know, Javier, we had you on early on when ICE and Border Patrol and Homeland Security showed up on your doorsteps down in L.A.
Right.
Since then, those operations have expanded to other cities, Chicago, D.C., Charlotte. We had an incident here in Oakland where, you know, the ICE agents were chasing people around in a car and caused two accidents. Luckily, nobody died, but the cars are totaled. But shout out to everybody in West Oakland, because the entire block came and protected that individual who happened to be a pregnant mother dropping off her kids at school. So much for these folks running around in masks and militarized, holding militarized weapons, for reining in cartels and dangerous criminals and things like that. No, they're looking for pregnant mothers and scaring them because she didn't know who they were when they came.
Yeah, I think today the numbers came out, or somebody reported only 2.5% of people detained were wanted for any crime or had committed any crime.
It's kind of like the stop and frisk thing in New York. Yeah. Remember, stop and frisk did like 5 million stops and they found like 99% of the people stopped didn't do anything, less than 2% or something like that, some crazy number.
Yeah.
What has been happening in L.A. as of late in terms of the protests, ICE? How has the municipality in the form of Karen Bass and other mayors that are in and around L.A. County, how have they been dealing with things? Because L.A.'s not in the spotlight as much anymore.
Well, I think the establishment and I would say the professional paid staff bureaucracies have basically thrown the white flag up. And, you know, like when the raids started, you would hear ICE out of L.A. And now you hear from the institutional people, no raids near schools, right? So like, okay, we can go across the street, you know. it's similar like the stop and frisk. That's a great analogy because I remember they would bring out the three guns they found, right? Like we
right.
see 3 million people, here's the three guns. And then they, one life was saved, you know. So it's symbolic. I think the institutions are dealing with the fundraising lapses as Trump and his attorneys have communicated a lot of threats to institutions. That's like, for example, a lot of these groups got money to do English classes and citizenship classes with Department of Homeland Security. One, I mean, we could, you know, what would our ancestors
say? Wait, who got money to do English classes with Homeland Security?
Major, you know, nonprofit organizations, major. I don't want to point anyone out because it would be unfair, but think of the largest groups that are leading the quote unquote fight for immigrant rights. They have contracts with the Department of Homeland Security to do citizenship and English classes going back to the Biden and Obama administrations. And they have been told that if those funds are being used to interfere with the government investigation, then they could have racketeering and criminal conspiracy charges. The letters are being copied to their donors. And that's why you're seeing this shift to independent voices and legal defense fundraising.
Oh, wow. So that's how they've been trying to silence a lot of them.
Yeah. But I think that to your point, the thing to follow is the local mayors and council members and school boards, the ones that are banging their heads on the ground trying to figure it out. There was a good friend of mine, Arturo Flores, the mayor of Huntington Park, who actually had an ICE agent arrested who couldn't. He turned out to not be an ICE agent. He was impersonating a federal officer. He was trying to kidnap a woman.
Wow.
And so you have schools that, you know, teachers and cafeteria workers and nurses and other people, they're the ones really leading the charge here. And I think that that's, the lesson we're learning from Trump is we got to go back to talking to our neighbors in one-on-one local organizing, because I think he gave us, to use some ghetto slang, he gave us the slap we probably needed to wake up a little bit.
Right, I hear you. How have the street organizations that were initially supposed to be his target, how have they behaved with that? And let me give some context. When we talked to the folks in Chicago, many of the folks had already bounced. They were out of harm's way. They were nowhere to be seen. We're talking about the Venezuelan folks that were supposed to be in this building where they were, you know, coming down from helicopters. We had folks on the right across the street. They was like, man, them folks been gone. They've been in the wind. Like, they're nowhere to be seen.
Remember the movie Green Zone? Like the weapons of mass destruction are right here. They're right here. They're supposed to be here. I mean, does any of this matter anymore? I think that Trump is coming into power, or he's accelerating oligarchical power in a moment where AI and technology and high-speed internet lets you and I do the research of four people in half an hour. So you could say, you know, give me all of the buildings that were raided by ICE in the last 4 days, and you know what, and you could figure this stuff out. So it's sort of like, so what are you going to do about it? So like in LA, we have LAPD standing there protecting the traffic and the crowd. ICE is doing raids. The sheriffs are over here. California Highway Patrol is on the freeway. And the governor and the mayor and the board of supervisors say they're not helping ICE. You know?
Wow.
And so what do we... And kudos to you guys. The Bay Area, man, I went to go visit some friends up there. And I saw mass kids totally like... a few hundred feet away protecting street vendors with walkie-talkies. I mean, we just have to build that from the ground up and stop following false leaders. Some of the groups like Union del Barrio that have been doing great work and some of the Home Depot stuff, you know, they're starting to mess with some of their leadership. I know Ron Goches is a teacher. So, you know, I think we all have to support one another, but I think that they're approach of going door to door, building community solidarity. We met during the Arizona boycott. And if you remember, that started when I think a group of local residents started boycotting a furniture store that had been calling ICE agents. And they actually drove that furniture store out of business. And that the owner of that furniture store was like one of these cop buddy, you know, these rich people that become cop buddies, you know?
Right.
Of our pile. And that's actually how it started in Arizona, which the community bankrupting a furniture store. You know, like in the hood, we all buy furniture from so-and-so.
Right.
And when we stop, they go out of business. So we got to reorganize and reconfigure. And I think, you know, part of like the reason I reached out to you on this one is like we have to think of politics as much more than opinions and quick takes on social media.
Real talk, and keep in mind that a lot of the reason that you see these hot takes and quick analysis is because it's monetized.
Yes.
What get amplified is monetized. And we just got to factor that into the equation. If I came on here and I started talking greasy about you and started making fun of you and we wound up having some sort of intense argument, right? And I put this up on YouTube, right? And frame it, you know, black man versus brown man, right? Yeah. We'll get paid, right? Yeah. We'll, you know, we'll go viral, you know, it will get monetized and people will pick it up. And so the monetization comes at the expense of a false narrative,
right?
You know, or an unhelpful one. So that's something that we need to kind of keep in mind. I wanted to have you on not only to get an update as to what's happening in LA, but an institution that is near and dear to a lot of people around the world, the Los Angeles Dodgers. They have a very interesting history with their new owners. They have been playing the long game. You've been writing a lot about them. Folks are still on a high because the Dodgers won the second World Series. What was very interesting was to see LAPD riding around on horses, you know, beating down brown folks all over LA after this World Series victory. And I didn't see any looting or anything like that. I saw people on lines and partying in the streets. And so that was a very interesting scenario because, in one hand, LAPD is not supposed to be cooperating with ICE. And then somebody said, you know, we'd rather have LAPD beat us than ICE beat us. You know, it's something really macabre. But let's talk about Mark Walters and what you've been writing about with Los Angeles Dodgers and the connection they have with ICE, not just ICE, but mass surveillance.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Walters is the investment manager and primary you know, executive for a couple of institutions. One of them is Guggenheim, which owns, I think, 3.8, which is well into the billions of dollars of Geo Group. They were which is the largest private prison, which Pogo. But Pogo, a webpage, has incredible documentation of just years of abuse and neglect, not just of immigrants, but just private prisons that have poor food, poor sanitation, abuse, terrible medical care. And the basic fundamentals of it is, you know, every Tylenol is a 45 cents out of Mark Walters's pocket, right? So like you have a headache, you know, it's terrible service. But also he has investments in Palantir, which is a surveillance company. And if you've been to airports recently, you know, they're offering you for your passenger convenience to use facial recognition software, which, you know, years ago, I hadn't even signed up for anything, but it was just like, you know, I was in Houston, some guy was coming from Mexico, and he was like, if you want to go through that line, it was a custom thing. And I just went. I didn't ask any questions. It was a short line. And I was like 20 feet away from him. He's like, have a good day, Mr. Gonzalez. And I was like, oh. So Mark Walters is not just that, and it started to come out, but he's one of these kind of PayPal mafia guys, these guys that left Africa, South Africa, after Mandela was freed and the nation was returned to its rightful owners. A lot of these really far right-wing, frankly, Jewish Zionists kind of took off all over the world. People talk about the Five Eyes, you know, Australia, South Africa, Israel, England, and America, these intelligence communities that collaborate. And they all magically come to America. They all magically invest in Apple. They all magically invest in Google and Microsoft. They all magically get rich. Then they have these spinoffs that have to do with surveillance. And Palantir, in its own webpage, says that they're a spinoff from the CIA. So this is the owner of the Dodgers has money invested in this. And I wrote and commented on that. But the last thing that I kind of realized was an incident that I was actually involved in with, you know, when I would do a lot of election work when I was with Labor, where I was kind of there when the cable companies and the telephone companies were warring over who can provide high-speed internet. And I think the bill was 2487 Senate bill. So it's rare when Fabian Nunez, who was like the powerful speaker of the assembly and the governor, work it out, because it's rare when the head of a legislature puts a bill. That's like saying this baby's passing, right? Yeah. Everybody's voting for this baby. So I was told that I would be receiving a large donation for a nonprofit organization that I ran that worked on the immigrant marches of 05 and 06. And I was like, cool, from who? And like, well, whoever wins, like the cable companies or the telecom company. So you get from AT&T or Spectrum or Comcast, right, back then, or Time Warner. So obviously that never happened. That was one of the few times I actually got to, we'll do a different story later on, but I actually challenged a legislator to a fist fight in Sacramento over some words he used about me when I was talking about these people who were betraying both sides of the aisle. So, you know, that just happens in the years past, but I remember the incident. And so when the Dodgers, a friend of mine, believe it or not, is connected to somebody that was going to buy the Dodgers, a local group of progressive, you know, for whatever, establishment, rich people, liberals. They were outbid by $800 million by Mark Walters.
Wow.
So the Times mocked it. The Wall Street Journal mocked it. Like, how could you, you know, you didn't outbid by $2 million, $800 million, and they let Frank McCourt, who I have another relationship to because I represented a worker that he had fired for letting his ex-wife into his office when it was realized that he wanted to build a football stadium in condos. So he owns 50%, the former Dodger owner, of the parking lot, which is for future development, right?
Wow.
So people were really critical of Walter getting the Dodgers, but they hated McCourt. So then he basically demanded billions of dollars from Time Warner, AT&T, DirecTV to continue to broadcast the Dodgers. Davey, we grew up in an era where you watched the baseball games on Channel 5 and Channel 9 and Channel 11. I don't know New York, but in L.A., we used to watch the Laker games like 2-3 days after they played when I was a kid, you know?
Right.
Tape delay. Oh, well, that's because we're West Coast probably, right? So suddenly, these guys were being asked to pay billions of dollars for these sports packet, for these access to the Dodger games. Because you,
right,
God, that I'm not paying for the Dodgers, you are, right? So they all balked it, except for, I believe it was called Time Warner at the time, or Spectrum, or, you know, I forget which order it was. AT&T said no, Cox said no, DirecTV said no, the small guy said no. So for 6 years, Dodger fans couldn't watch the Dodgers unless they had, I think it was Spectrum, which was originally was called Time Warner. So millions of people, you know, frustrated, get over to Time Warner. They drop DirecTV, they drop AT&T. At the same time, well, so in that bill that I referenced where the speaker, Nunez, and the governor worked it out directly, who knew in 2006 a small line that just said something like you can sell for a fee additional video services? It was like a simple sentence. They knew what they were doing. This is the subscription fees. So as millions of people switched to Spectrum to get the Dodger games, LA County Board of Supervisors gave Spectrum 90% coverage of LA County. There was a study about, what's the word when you have like internet inequality?
We call it the digital divide.
So the California Community Foundation did a paper and a study that was scrubbed from the internet, but I found the PowerPoint, where they said, hey, there's this digital divide in South Central. People pay X amount for slow internet. And in rich neighborhoods, they pay less than that for faster internet. And in the PowerPoint, they had, I think, two or three slides that said, also, the county board gave them a monopoly over LA County, right?
Wow.
So Spectrum also was given the right to, when you turn on your cable, Spectrum One News comes on. You know, before you get like a blank screen, right?
Yeah.
So now they go around saying they're the number one news in LA. And I don't know anybody that watches Spectrum News.
You know, I noticed that, not to be sidetracked, but I did get a new TV not too long ago.
Right.
And when I turn it on, yeah, I'm not going to say the company, but Fox News and Newsmax show up on my screen. I have to like turn it down and I have to do like an extra click. Like it's the first thing you see. And I've been like, you know, I don't want to see this. I don't want to, you know, I don't want this on my TV when I turn it on.
Like the gym. The gym is always like Fox or CNN.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of like how that is. And so I can imagine people, first of all, if they wanted to see their favorite team, which is a heritage type team, they have to go to this cable company. Some people might argue and say that's good business. He's just doing what a business person does.
It's called monopoly.
Yeah. Well, that's what other people say. At the same time, when you pop on, all of a sudden their news is what you're seeing. Wow.
And there's no criticism of the county. There was one reporter who did a story on a woman who was forced to give the best friend of a board of supervisors a BS contract. That woman ended up, you know, getting fired. She went on to go work for some crypto company. And I was told this by a senior person, because I, you know, for campaign work, I do media. I was literally told this by a senior person at Spectrum. So it's facts. So the point is that once everybody caves, right, the Dodgers got Ohtani, they're winning the World Series. It's interesting. Freddie Freeman kind of did an interview where he said he never wanted to leave the Braves. He kind of, you know, lost a bluff with the Dodgers and came to the Dodgers. Ohtani's getting paid this deferred contract that who knows how it's within the rules, right? They get magical pitcher, even though for almost nothing. And then they win the World Series. The owner of the Dodgers, who's connected to the intelligence community clearly and is spying on citizens, had allowed the processing of immigrants in the parking lot. Quickly denied it, donated $1 million to legal defense, which is hush money. Because if you have institutions that have hired attorneys, for whatever reason, these institutions hired attorneys to do all kinds of paperwork, then it's just a new hustle. If you read Elaine Brown's book, A Taste of Power, she talks about how the trials of Huey and Eldridge and H. Rapp and Stokely kind of bankrupted the breakfast program, the clinic program. So this is a tactic, right? So the fans are mad. I'm posting. Other people are posting. I'm proud to say I was one of the first people to post because my dad used to watch the previous owner of the Dodgers' car, Tom O'Malley, many, many years ago. But what was interesting to me about writing this story is how we're so mad at them, and we helped him buy the Dodgers. Because once DirecTV and Cox and AT&T agree to pay the billions of dollars, which was like 8.5, to Walter, he puts them onto Sportsnet, but a lot we have to now pay a $6.95 a month sports package fee to watch the Dodgers. So if 1 million people give $7 a month, that's $77 million a month. So with other sports, the Lakers are doing it now, the Bay Area is doing it now, and there's estimates that Walter may have made anywhere between $3.5 to $5.3 billion just on the sports package fees, which is well worth overpaying for the Dodgers for $800 million. So my joke to all these Dodger fans who are feeling like clowns now anyway is, not only are they screwing your people, but you paid for it. And the day after the parade, they were back at Dodger Stadium processing.
Yeah. Ice was. Let me ask you this. I think people listening will say, well, yeah, you know, subscriptions, I kind of get that when you're talking about cable. But over the last 5 years, it's been almost impossible to avoid subscriptions. Like, I have software that I want to use, and I can't buy it. I have to subscribe $30 a month, right? You have these big companies, you know. I remember the name. One of them is Black, I was going to say Black Hole or something like that, but I'm going to remember it. You know, they buy up houses all over the place, and it's like, no, we're just going to, you know, basically subscription. And that has become like the new hustle. And
there's a word for it. They call it techno-feudalism. Chris Hedges has a great podcast and article about it. I forget the name, but it was the Greek finance minister who, remember, just told everybody, screw your debt. Remember, which is dope. He has a really long name, something with a Y. But he basically wrote an article called techno-feudalism. Even some of the people you follow on Instagram now want you to give him $4.99.
Yeah, just to read this stuff.
You know, it's all, you know, as people see that channel, you know, mainstream television, radio and TV and newspaper is BS, you know, we're searching out alternative forms of information. And that's what I think is the drive. And people you and I know are taking way too much money to be, quote unquote, independent voices, but they're repeating the establishment's claim. And so as they're not buying the products, by the way, baseball was invented by a hot dog vendor who wanted to sell hot dogs and beer, and he rented a park, closed the park, and paid the best players to play baseball to sell his hot dogs and beer. So when I've gone to Cuba, you go to do bathroom breaks during the commercials. Well, there's no commercials in Cuba, right? So you would watch stuff directly. There'd be like 5 minutes of shows, and then the next movie starts. So when I came back one time, I said, you know what? I'm going to watch a basketball game, but I'm going to watch the commercials and ignore the game, right? And then I realized I'm watching marketing, and in between, they throw balls around.
Right.
So that's always been the purpose. And now, you know, you whether it's TV, movies, or Instagram, or when somebody sends me a link to a Washington Post, oh, I don't subscribe to that one.
Right.
And you subscribe or you buy it. So, yeah, we're headed towards a society where you're renting everything.
What do you say to people who say, well, Javier, this is just business. This is good business. And why should we be mad that somebody figured out a, you know, proverbial better mousetrap?
Well, because it's not business. It's the public airways. There was over 1,000 scientists, for example, that signed a letter to Obama saying, please don't auction AM radio stations to fire companies and private entities and, you know, the growth of the private jets, right? That they argued that you could use AM radio to create national, non-like dangerous in terms of like the radiation, low speed internet, right? So that everybody could, instead of paying for hotspots or all this stuff, could have a basic, simple internet access through AM radio. That's just one example. When you and I were younger in college, Bill Clinton, deregulated the telecommunications industry and the FCC. So you used to have a public benefit, and you could argue against the station. These are public airways. It's illegal to collect water from the rain. That's public water. Electricity, dams, all these things are public institutions. And in parts of reform-minded parts of Africa, these movements that are happening with the Three Nations, is they're building massive amounts of public benefits by just having a collective ownership. And, you know, to anybody who has capital who wants to argue with me about how business should work, or argue with anyone, as Stokely Carmichael famously said, how much capital you got? You know, you're such a capitalist and you ain't got no capital. Like, they're flipping this stuff on us. Like, we're the consumers, and we don't have, you know, rent strikes, worker strikes, student strikes. All of that stuff is declined. I think, you know, social media may have something to do with it, or intentions, but the fact that the movement is weak and they're jamming through their dreams of a techno society.
If you were talking Javier Gonzalez out of Los Angeles, our guest, if you were talking, I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, they gave me a few dollars on TikTok. Mm-hmm. You know, they were to get a few dollars on Instagram. And if I keep working hard and I keep creating more content and I keep doing a little something, I might be able to get more than a few dollars. So, in my opinion, the illusion that I too can be a quote-unquote influencer is a very neat distraction to keep me away from things. And I often remind folks, yeah, I made a couple of thousand to a company that's almost worth a trillion.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a lot of gaslighting, if you can use that word. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors, like we like to say in the industry, that's going on. But to your point about folks striking and collectively moving, there's a large swath of the population, especially as they are finding themselves unemployed, are turning to these platforms. So people forget the rush for a lot of people to go to OnlyFans. Remember, you know, that was, you know, I don't know if it's still going on, but people are like, hey, I got nice looking feet. Let me go sell feet pictures on OnlyFans, right?
Because number one benefactor to the IDF.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, but people went on there and again, subscribe, you know, $10 a month. You know, you could see Jennifer Lopez's feet, and, you know, $10, you know, $15 a month. You could see, you know, somebody else, you know, in a bikini. But Hello Housewives and everybody else is like, well, let me just go on here and cash in. That's not too far removed from everybody who's like, well, let me just stage a fight, you know, in the middle of a crowded airport. Or let me go to a Black or Latino community and pretend I'm a gangster and see the reaction of people, because all that gets monetized. And then last, the other thing that ties into policy is the doom loop economy. Mm-hmm. So how many folks, you know, like in the past month, there's been 7 or 8 different videos from people outside of Oakland talking about Oakland. So Oakland is the gun capital of the world. It's the rob capital of the world. I mean, they just showed up, right? Somebody did a video like a year ago, and then they re-released it, you know, after John B, you know, the coach got shot. And this is all monetized. So it's a guy with a foreign accent. It's like, hey, I'm walking around the dangerous streets of Oakland. They have a bunch of those type of doom loop sites in LA. And, you know, there's money to be made.
Talked about those dudes in the 80s in New York selling cassettes in Manhattan, remember? Because a lot of them aren't using their own content. Look, I mean, it's a centuries-old trick. People, look, if you work somewhere that's, you know, a terrible corporate actor, let's say Starbucks, who's helping to fund a, you know, free coffee for people who kill Palestinian children and stuff like that, okay? Just say you work there. Don't make a political point out of it. Everybody needs to put food on the table, right? But when you take money to work as an individual against your collective interests, those are sellouts. We know that, you know? I get offers from TikTok to play some crappy country song, and if it gets 1,000 views, you get $300. I don't personally engage it because that's I don't need that kind of revenue, especially if you get to the point where like Netanyahu was meeting with a bunch of influencers and said the most important thing that's happened for Israel's cause is buying of TikTok. I mean, he's telling us it's censorship. So I don't see any difference between like somebody told me in Sacramento, every corporation has a Black or Latina lobbyist. Let's celebrate diversity on Chevron, Exxon, and Mobil, and all these horrible companies. You know, so it's you know, I'm not gonna, as long as people don't brag about how they make their money. Like we all have to work, but when you start justifying it, come on, you're getting into Tom's room, you know. And you know, you can justify it all you want. You get angry because you know it's true, and nobody has a right. But the point of my article is how the pieces get manipulated, right? So it's like you're building a puzzle of corruption, right? We all are into learning about stuff. It's like you see Malcolm's evolution and how he's starting to put the puzzle together, right? And then once the puzzle's together, if you don't like the result, they just tear it back up, right?
Right.
Some people look at the puzzle and say, whoa, that's crazy. I didn't know that, right? So if you want to say you want to be a millionaire, I mean, let me ask you, how did you feel? Did you see Floyd in Israel, Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah.
How did you feel?
Disappointed, but I mean, he's always been backwards with his politics, you know, for a long time. I stopped liking him once people in Vegas was telling me he was putting hands on women all the time.
But so, even like the clothing he was wearing and the wow, that was a lot.
Well, you know, you can't separate Floyd Mayweather from the handpick,
yeah,
Compador co-signing, yeah, bootlicking class, right? So they can go by and say, this Javier, he's a seasoned activist. He's worked at, you know, with labor. He knows his stuff. Let's bypass him and let's get Nicki Minaj,
yeah,
to go speak before the UN to talk about why we should invade Nigeria, right? Yeah. Let's find, you yeah know, maybe Jennifer Lopez or somebody to speak and talk about why ICE is a good thing. So we're seeing the elevation of celebrity because they're influencers and you're literally giving them talking points to speak. And the irony of that is the person that was really doing that was Dr. King,
yeah,
and Harry Belafonte, who you know, and yeah, they had a methodical and very well thought out plan because they understood that the establishment would go to an entertainer before they came to them.
Yeah. So
the Dorothy Dandridges of the world, the Aretha Franklins, you know, they were like, here's the talking points. This is why we're marching. So when they came to them and put them on, you know, put the microphone in them, they could speak, you know, properly. Yeah. And the same thing with the Nation of Islam, as you saw with you know, Malcolm and others, we talked to the, you know, some of those athletes as well. So now, you know, just as a side note, there's a whole book called Kingmaker, written by somebody who comes out of LA, Marcus Goodloe, who breaks all that stuff down and gives that history. Yeah. So if you want to see that book, you know, you could check it out.
There was even some white guys in Europe that I think helped Jagerite, something man. I forget what was the song, like but anyway, but there was I forget his name. It's slipping away. But that history, I have a great book is Party Music about the
Ricky Vincent, yeah.
Right,
Ricky Vincent, yeah.
Henry Douglas, you know, with the art, you know, with the Panthers from the Bay Area, I think as well. I mean, we have to start to think like this. I've reached out to a few influencers and creators because, look, I had like an Instagram with like 329 friends and family, mostly in Mexico, frankly, and it blew up to like in the over 10,000, and then I started getting messed with by Facebook and Instagram, so I started reaching out to other people who were repeating and liking and stuff. I did a post, Dave, you would have loved, because Apollonia reposted my stuff, and I was like, Apollonia reposted me, you can't tell me nothing.
Right.
It's Purple Rain 50 times, man. But, and people were all hesitant because they're wanting to lead. right? That they want, they don't want to be a part of something. They want to be the leader of something. They're trying to manifest. Remember, they try to manifest a general strike. They try to manifest a farm worker strike. Nothing beats organization. James Foreman taught the snake people that. And, you know, Fred Ross and the farmer, nothing beats organization. We have to build organizations. And the organizations that we have now, they've become too institutionalized. They're getting all their money from the Rockefellers and the Fords. And why would you do a deal with DHS? And even all this homeless stuff is just gigantic. You know, somebody who I know to have a lot of personal and social issues gets huge contracts from the county to be a life coach, someone who I know is life's in disorder, right? And so they, all it took was money to separate us from the causes. And it, you know, this is enough of a slap in the face where we have to start to get back together and connect. And one of the things that I think is the reason I've been writing is the, you know, as people, a couple people call me boomers and stuff like that. And I was like, why would you? I remember my old mentor told me, never trust a room full of young people, right? Because you have to have multiple generations of people who've already gone through stuff. But also, always have, you know, be vigilant of people who are creating division, right? If I can share things that I've experienced, you checked me a couple of times on some things that I did in the past as an elder, and like, we need that. So I'm trying to tell these young people, right, it's not just that the Dodgers are part of the surveillance state. It's not just that they don't have any respect for our community. It's not just that we love them more than they love us. It's like they're active agents in the political establishment that extracts wealth from you and gives it to them. They got you to all give him $7 a month for the rest of your life. Think about that. They used to be free on Channel 11. And I want to share with you, and I didn't know how to do this, but and I have a more interesting connection, I think. So the night before Magic Johnson announced he had HIV, I was shot 5 times. And a good friend of mine, Gilly, passed away.
Wow.
And I was shot through the shotgun, through my Magic Johnson Converse sneakers. I loved Magic. And wow. I had it till my mom hated looking at it. I had my Magic Johnson shoes with a big hole blown out of the side of it. And the next day I had an ex-girlfriend of mine was going to come visit me. And I lived in a really hood house. It was 8 of us in a 1-bedroom farmhouse that was left over from the 70s. So I got my crutches and I went outside. My brother was playing hockey with roaches from the grass next door. We lived next to a vacant house. And I was like, man, you're going to have to stop that when Gina comes over. And he goes, hey, check out the radio. Magic got AIDS. That was the day after I got shot. My good friend Gilly passed away. And for the next 2 weeks, man, I went to a funeral. I was recovering from gunshot wounds. I lost my girlfriend. My homie Jose from across the street was the second person to come visit me. He got killed like 6 months later. And all I could worry about was Magic. Poor Magic. The man who bragged about sleeping with 6 different women a day. The man who rents out his likeness and his name for 10% of corporations to introduce those brands into our community, like Starbucks, like LA Fitness, like the movie theater, right? Magic Johnson pimps his name and image that because we love him in exchange for small pieces of ownership. Like Jay-Z, what the joke was, they gave him tickets to be a part owner of the Knicks or whatever it was, right? And then when these moments happen, we are more concerned with their health and safety than they could ever give a damn about us. And I think that's the collective gasp that we felt, is we realize Magic is not Kareem, who coached a Native American Indian basketball team to a state championship after retire. He's not, LeBron is not Kobe, who embraced and married into and embraced the hardworking Latino community. That these are not the heroes we think they are. And when these moments happen, we realize we love them way more than they love us. And it's just like, to your point early, it's like Malcolm X reminding us, you don't go to Frank Sinatra and ask him what he thinks about World War II or Vietnam, but you'll go to Sammy Davis to get a stupid quote and make it silly. So, but I think it's important to note that not only are they screwing us in a heavy way, creating the surveillance state, you're paying for it. with the 795. They're going to, and I tell you what they're going to do, Davey. They're going to win one more championship or at least go to the World Series. Then the Olympics are going to come. Gentrification is exploding in the city. And in 1984, there's a great poster, if you look online on Google Images, of some artist did. I might have been Emery, man. It was his style. Because people don't know that 3,000 blacks and Latinos were rounded up and detained at the Coliseum in the 84 Olympics, and they couldn't process them because there was so many of them. And after the Olympics were gone, they released them all. So I think they're getting ready to have a they've already announced the drones are going to be here. They're going to have drone taxis. They already are allowing the driverless Ubers. And I think these are ceremonies. We worked on the Arizona boycott, and then they get the Super Bowl, and then Phoenix becomes this modern city. Janet Napolitano goes national, the governor. LA is in for a transformative moment, and the 84 Olympics is going to be Trump and I believe some Republican or moderate Democrat mayor, because they're going to take Karen out and they might keep her, and it will usher in a white. And I will say this, it's going to issue in a white liberal establishment with a majority white council city and with like a new, the West Coast technical base. And if I can add to your point earlier, yes, you know, if you could be a social influencer and maintain your integrity and network with others, it's powerful. But California also is where 90% of America's commerce comes through our ports, the Oakland port, San Francisco, LA, San Diego, even the Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, right? So they love us talking about Israel. They love us talking about blacks or Latinos or ICE or sellouts or pigs. I keep telling all the kids fighting ICE every day, why are you fighting the mall cops? There's 32 train tracks that that deliver all the goods from the West Coast to the rest of the nation, and you're throwing rocks at a mall cop. It's not like we're strategic, like the FTA, the FD Army movie, and like the resistance to the Vietnam War, where people were organizing, they were coming together, they were having conferences and conventions. We cannot have a movement led by influencers unless it's like a collective organization. So if you think H-Rap Brown is in New York doing a speech, when Stokely's in Chicago, Fred Hampton's in, you know, Detroit, like if you can recreate something like that, then I'm all for it. But I don't see how a hot take on an issue, you know, gives you this buzz of going viral for a second. You have to explain to people how the political system works. They invest years in these operations that pay them billions of dollars in fruition, and then they throw you out trivial fights, and then we age.
A lot to take in. Javier Gonzalez, how can we read your work and follow you?
On Substack, you know, it says subscription, but it's free. You just have to subscribe. It's Javier Gonzalez. It's either on The World According to Javier, which my old boss used to say, or They Are Monsters, because that's kind of the word that I've been using for bipartisan hatred, right? They're all monsters. They're just screwing us over.
Real talk. We appreciate you. We're going to have you come back. Thanks for the updates. Thanks for the insight. Thanks for the conversation. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Whether or not you believe in karma, prepare for the end of all dogma. Have to Atlas act. Backwards, spinning in massive flames, and we trapped in a blaze without a drop of agua. End of the human saga, it's not a drama novella. MAGA tops and cops and armor, better hook moms and abuela. Churches, synagogues, and mosques are bombed with Krylon and Molotov. Civilians full of fear and full of faith and fully armed. Blast holes in holy places, disgrace in the names of God. Nothing sacred, blatant hatred in a nation that's truly scarred. Down to the marrow, the Wild West, a broken arrow. Crimson river since the colonies, innocent blood's mahogany. People treated as property, keep eyes on a sparrow. Still swinging from gallows and still dabbing to pharaohs. Robot tobacco. Mixed with an endo, reading my tarot by the window, hoping my smoking prayers reach my murder kinfolk in limbo. Manhattan, Minneapolis, Oakland, the Caribbean, beyond the borders we live in, and tired of breathing all of this tyranny. My question is, how we gonna move forward if tyranny is law and revolution in order? Question is, how we gonna move forward if tyranny is law, revolution's in order?
no promise of drinking water, there's no order. Now we turn people away from our border, snatch up their children. What they ages, they get torn from the loving arms of they pops and moms and locked in cages. And in private prisons, people are products, the profit's outrageous. So play this Rico P, original, profit to rage. Apocalyptic days upon us like piranhas. Fear is a plague, it's contagious. I'm prey to the AKs like Adonis, like it's God. They a modern mortal martyr, minutes to final marching orders. They automatics for immaculate slaughter. Dressed in black, we mourn the horror show. Depression overload, mausoleums overflowing from prescription overdose. Murderers in overcoats and psychopaths and tie knots. Got the population comatose and crumbling like dry rot. And why not, when crime pays and the politicians play dumb? There's so much to be worried about, we hurry up and stay numb. That's true facts, the devil tucks his tail under his suit jacket, smiling while he guides us to hell in a fruit basket. Man, it's tyranny. My question is, how we gonna move forward? If tyranny is law, ain't revolution in order? My question is, how we gonna move forward? Is law, revolution's in order.
Muhammad Ahmad and the Black Freedom Struggle. His name is Muhammad Ahmad, and if this name doesn't ring a bell, well, don't be surprised, for it indicates how media has supported the civil rights movement while ignoring and downplaying the Black liberation movement. Dr. Muhammad Ahmad, a celebrated scholar activist, has had a long and impressive history as a member of RAM, the Revolutionary Action Movement, the chairman of the African People's Party, APP, and for over 5 years, a Black political prisoner in Philadelphia, New York City, and San Diego, California. He supported the pre-Newton formations of the Black Panther Party, the group mostly based on the East Coast, as well as the Republic of New Africa, RNA, which fought for the separation of 5 southern states for Black settlement as a land base for an independent Black nation. RAM, which operated in Philadelphia and New York City, named Robert Williams, formerly of the NAACP chapter in Monroe, North Carolina, its president in exile, while Williams lived in Cuba and later China. Dr. Muhammad Ahmad's own book, which I believe was titled Look for Me in the Whirlwind, is a delightful telling of him growing up in West Philadelphia, where the now legendary figure, Queen Mother Moore, became one of his teachers and allowed him to use her extensive library for study and research. Dr. Ahmad taught for years at Temple and lived more history than is often written in books. We applaud him for his significant role in our freedom struggle for freedom and independence for Black people. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Look how I'm living now. Police be tripping now. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah. Yeah, I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah.
Picasso,
what?
And Maya.
Who?
And my last name is Susana. Yeah,
Listen, we're in the Fireside Theater. We all listen to this fabulous station in Portland, and it's called K-Boo.
It's a Lorenzo Milam original. It's one of his. It's one of his spawn. And we'd like to say hello to all the people at K-Boo, and thanks for that coffee cake that that volunteer made 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's still coming down, man.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience. KBOO, Portland.
Hi, this is Cecil Prescott. Celeste Carey and I are the co-hosts for More Talk Radio, which airs on KBOO